Hello, everyone. We are your hosts, Susan, Katie, and Jill. We are longtime educators who are here to share with you all things education. We want to inspire you, help you innovate, dream new visions, and best of all, make you laugh. The education field is not an easy one, but we do it because we love kids and we want the very best for them. Join us as we laugh, learn, and get schooled on KLED & Co.
Because we've been doing this for a hot minute, we have a few fun stories.
Yeah, we do.
A few fun educational stories.
My favorite part.
Now, are you ready? Because you're going to have to hit some of that stuff,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
You want the thing on?
I mean, I might.
You want your headphones on?
Yeah.
Susan is going to tell us a story.
Let me adjust.
Story time.
Let me adjust.
Crisscross applesauce.
Oh,
so right? We are ready for story time.
What's the name of our podcast?
Get Schooled.
Let me tell you something, Jillie.
You're about to get schooled.
About to get schooled. I vowed not to retire until I was out of new material.
Oh, you're never going to be out of new material.
Nope. This is the best part. I mean, one of the very finest parts of our work,
yes,
in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, when we were going to talk about the school, the one thing I was going to say is the school is a non-negotiable for me.
Yeah.
I mean, all the sweet things we said. We love our families. We love
our students.
Yeah. Right. But those are where the stories.
Really? It's like, about the stories that we're going to get.
Those are where you get the stories.
Yes.
So for example, let's say, and I mean, just because this parent could be close.
Okay.
Could be close. Now, I'm just going to tell you if the guy behind the camera has done his job and I look 36 and 130, that I might not be those things. I might be a tad older and a tad heavier, but we're going to count that he did his job. Anyhow, so I am minding my own business, teaching a fantastic reading lesson at my little table the other day, just last week. And I was feeling pretty good. It was a solid wardrobe day, solid hair day.
Nice.
And I bend over to pick something off the ground, and out of the blue, like we are in the middle, like there's no messing around happening.
Right.
This young friend of mine, who may or may not be related to somebody in this room, looks up and says, "You look like my grandma." Now,
and he had such amazing intentions.
He's already trying to make it better.
You can't make it better. I didn't say you knew
Oh, you're right.
She took full ownership.
May or may not be in this general vicinity.
No, let it. This is the best part.
Now, I will say, before someone stepped in, that this child is delightful. Very kind,
big heart,
right?
For sure.
And he wasn't being a jackass.
Yeah, right.
Like, no. I mean, he was for real, like.
Really thinking about
it. You look like my grandma.
Yeah.
And so I had to contain what I really wanted to say and my facial expressions.
Right.
So as not to scare this young man.
Right.
And the only thing that could come to my mind was, well, is your grandma hot? So he kind of looks at me like I might have 14 heads and says,
he wasn't ready for that.
Well, yeah, no.
I mean,
you know, he's ready for that.
Right.
And he kind of goes, yeah, I mean, I guess. And he goes, I mean, her hair's a little, you know, poofier than yours. Fair.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
So then I said, okay, well, I suppose that will work then. I immediately turn my back. This is not a consulting technique we will share. Pull out my cell phone and I text my partners.
Yeah.
What just has happened to me?
I mean,
at which point one of my partners is just so kind about it. So kind about it.
It's not this partner.
And she says, as soon as I see her next, oh, I mean, you kind of do. And she tries to fix it.
Oh.
Which is where the whole thing falls apart even more.
Right.
Because this parent slash
sweet
colleague,
parent,
very kind, very sweet, like her son, shows me a picture of grandma. Grandma looks about 10 years younger than I do.
So see, he was giving you a compliment.
I mean, I'm going to go with that, Jill, but I'm going to remind you that that's what you said to comfort me the first time someone calls
you.
No,
I gave you a new nickname. Come on. Go ahead.
So this is one colleague says, oh, look, it's fine.
You look great.
And I say, my other colleague says,
well, we will now be calling you Gam Gam.
And that's the kind of fun we have to have.
And that's the kind of fun that every school and partnership should have.
But
right?
Jill,
I love it. But there are more
stories.
There
are more stories. I could probably
That was
do,
a G-rated.
That was a G-rated. And I don't want our listeners to think they'll always be G-rated. Yeah, so I'm going to give them a little taste.
Okay.
A little taste.
Okay.
Jill.
Hit it.
Are you okay?
I'm
You're a rule follower.
I am a rule follower, folks.
Okay.
I am.
Good.
So sometimes Gam Gam makes me nervous.
She's being kind. Always Gam Gam makes her nervous.
But this is a good story. Okay. My palms are only sweating a little bit.
So like I have loved the buildings in which I have served as an educational leader slash principal. They're like the greatest places. Those are my families. Those are my people. Like I love them. And my relationships with my people are one of the things that I just value the most, just passionate about those. So one day I had this mom came in and she was kind of fired up. I don't even remember what she was fired up about. And we were talking and, you know, she about her kiddo, things were going to change, this and that. And she was very free to tell me about some things that were currently happening, perhaps a current boyfriend in her life, right?
Because you're also a therapist when you're a principal.
Oh, that is, I'm really glad you added that part. You are definitely a therapist.
You are 100%.
100% therapist. A therapist. And so she wanted to tell me about this recent interaction while she was feeling a little bit more happy. Mm-hmm. We'll use that. Fulfilled.
Okay.
Should I stop there?
I mean.
Okay, I'll stop there.
Sweating a little bit.
On this fine. Particular fine. Day. Yeah. And she says to me something in regards to a woohoo stick. Now, I mean, this was probably 8 years ago.
Right.
So I'm younger than I am currently. But I had not heard of this term, the woohoo stick. And for those of you listening that don't understand what a woohoo stick might be, I'm going to help you out here in about 5 seconds. And I said to her, I said, well, so mama, like, I'm sorry, did you just refer to that piece of anatomy as a woohoo stick? And she said, yeah. Why, Ms. Deacons? And I said, well, because I've never heard of that. And she said, what are you talking about? When you sit on it, you say, woohoo. I turned fifth shades red.
As you should have.
Tears were rolling down my face. And I thought, when I write a book, that's going to make it.
That's the chapter.
Name. And it was,
the woohoo stick.
I laughed, maybe cried.
Right.
Fantastic.
It's just another day in the life.
Another day in the life.
Day in the life of an educator.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're the best.
It's good stuff.
All right. Hi, everybody.
Okay. Starting good.
Okay. Oh, really?
Katie's highly uncomfortable. Yes. We're going to do it. We're going to do it good. Okay.
What are we calling again?
Get school.
With Kaylin and Co. Yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody. Welcome to our very first episode or podcast, I guess, of what we like to call Get School with Kale Edenko. My name is Dr. Susan Deacons, and I'm here with my lovely colleagues and great friends, Katie Jones and Dr. Jill Brown.
Hey, Katie. Hey, Susan. Glad to be with you today. It's very exciting. This is our very first podcast that the three of us have done together. And we are excited to bring you lots of great content, great thoughts about schooling, great ways we can hopefully help educators and families out there.
So absolutely.
Yeah. Ready absolutely. To get started on this.
I'm excited that Katie's here with us today.
Me too.
I mean, she's not quite an expert like we are. We have two whole podcasts under our belt.
I mean,
maybe 500 tries to get those two podcasts. But Katie, right. you should be right with us in no time at all. In no time at all, those two podcasts without question made us experts.
Well, I'm very excited to be here too. And this is my first podcast of my whole life. So my face is very far away from this microphone.
She's going to be great, though. She yes, is going she is. To. You're going to be an old pro before the end of the first episode.
Yes.
So, Susan, I think we should take folks through kind of how we came to be. We are in our second year of starting something new for us.
The Kale School.
The Kale School.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think if we walk back through kind of how we got started and where we are today, that'd be good for people to kind of see the evolution. So Susan and I have spent many years in education, more than 20. Gosh, mm-hmm. Every year I say it, it's more than 20. It's actually nearing like 25 plus. Yes. We don't like to admit that sometimes, but 'tis true. And I guess that just makes us wise, not old. Right.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah,
I know. Me too.
Yeah, yeah. You're welcome. And so we decided after pandemic was over that we were ready to do something new and help educators and kids in a different way. And it led us to opening our own school called Columbia Academy for Learning and Enrichment, which we affectionately just refer to now as KALE most of the time. And so we started a school and we started with 10 kids, I think, 10 kids strong. It was fantastic. We brought some of the very best of educational practices to our new school that we were opening.
And really a lot of those things are what we're going to talk about today.
Exactly. Yeah. So from there, we had a fantastic first year. We moved locations. We grew. We tripled numbers our first year, which was amazing. And then we brought on our third founder, who is Katie Jones. And she is reading specialist extraordinaire, dyslexia practitioner, all the things that we really want to be a part of the things that we're doing. And she's been a great fit to the team. And so from that, the larger business was born, which is KALE Education and Company. And so under that, we have many things that we offer to educators and to families. And we're going to kind of talk about that just a little bit today so that we can give our listeners an idea of all the ways that we can help and hopefully inspire some educators out there that might want to come on our show and tell us about some of the great things that they're doing in classrooms today so we can get that information out to other educators.
Yeah, I really hope that is a result that happens from mm-hmm. us doing this. I just think that we are at a place in education where we could do a much better job of really supporting and highlighting each other and the wonderful things that are happening. You don't have to look very hard to find all the things that the country or the state or, you know, whomever at large says right. aren't going well.
Right.
So I think collectively, if we can work to maybe even out that ship a little bit so mm-hmm. that we're acknowledging some right. things that are really quite spectacular with education and yeah. educational practices right now.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. So when we think about the larger picture, we have three big things under the umbrella, I guess I would say. So one way that we like to help educators and the work, some of the work that we're doing right now is consulting out in schools. And so my background is largely also in the field of literacy, and the science of reading is something that I've been helping schools with since 2005, when the first wave of Reading First and lots of money came through at that point, and they were supporting coaches and supporting wonderful practices. And it is making its way back to the forefront, this time through dyslexia legislation, really grassroots efforts instead of top-down mandates. And I'm thrilled to see it. So we go out and we help educators understand how to do assessment, how to understand assessment, how to make sure kids are getting what they need in intervention time, setting up different systems for support for intervention, whether you call it RTI or MTSS or some other fancy name. Those are the things that we like to come in and support and help schools be able to do. So implementation of those practices, and implementation for me is a big key word simply because you can put a lot of things in, but if you don't do it within a system and an implementation of practices within that system, it will not stick around.
Yeah, but Jill, I don't want to cut you off, but I think
no,
that's
go for
that's that's two areas that you've really specialized in, right? I mean, you talked a lot about your coaching background and your leadership experience through that vein. But as a building principal and as a district level administrator, assistant superintendent, it wasn't just about the taking a hold of the grassroots effort and following mandates or legislation or what have you. Right. But it was about systems implementation to support those things. And so we can all think we understand and we can all want to address, or we can all want to move, you know, needle forward, but without the appropriate systems to implement, it's just not going to work. It's certainly not going to work efficiently.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it all falls apart.
I think you're highlighting that is really important.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one thing that we do. We go to you either in person or virtually, and we help you out to make sure that all of those practices are in place. Susan also does a lot of great leadership work with new principals, new district leaders, helping them make sure that they have all their ducks in a row. It's a very large job. Yes. Yeah.
It's changed so much. And then, you know, legislation, if you're a public educator, legislation is always going to keep you hopping, right? Like it's always going to keep you moving and shaking and adapting to things that, you know, how many times have we heard leaders say, you know, whether they're colleagues or principals that were shepherding or how many times we heard people say, but this isn't applicable to my building right now.
Right.
It's just one more thing for me. Right. And I would encourage people just to really spend time, especially young and new administrators in the field, really spending time getting to know your craft, right? And allowing yourself not to know everything because you're not fooling anyone.
Right.
And it's just suffocating the pressure that you put on yourself, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's just something that I truly enjoy, because at the end of the day, if you're not an effective leader,
right,
it's kind of like the systems implementation we were talking about a second ago. For if you're not an effective leader, then really all of those other things will get washed away that do matter, you know, that are results centered and student focused. Those things will kind of never really bubble up because the managing portion of the day just never get past that.
You don't. And one thing I love about what we get to do when we come out and consult is we can work with people one-on-one, and it's a very safe place. When you bring them in, and we do that as well, and we'll talk about that here in a minute, but it's a different dynamic. So when you're out in a building and someone can say to you, I need to tell you, I don't know how to do this.
Yes.
That's very freeing for that person. And it allows us to really get to the root and help them and remind them that they're not alone. Because as you say, there's lots of new teachers out there. We're all going through a difficult time in education. We've got a lot of people that have never taught before that are teaching. You've got a lot of new leaders who've never necessarily led before. And they need a lot of support. And so going out and helping with that is something we love to do. And that's one of the practices under our Kale Ed and Co. umbrella.
Well, and I think too, Katie, and I know you've kind of been quiet and let me do all the interrupting thus far, but, which is so kind.
You're doing great.
So kind of you. But I do think you, Katie, as a role in this, in our Kale Ed and Co. Was such an essential component.
100%.
Because our lens was one thing, but yet Katie brings in a completely new perspective through a different lens entirely. And so, I mean, Katie, just to share a little bit about what you're doing in terms of your consulting work, I think would be advantageous to our listeners.
Yeah. So this is my 15th year in education. I was a first grade teacher for 10 years. And then the last four was an instructional mentor. So helping teachers in the classroom, modeling lessons, really focused around literacy, science of reading, mostly focusing on their phonics block and how to translate the data that they're collecting with their assessments into the classroom and really use that data to drive their instruction. And so that's something that now I've been able to go out into school districts and model lessons for teachers in their classroom, or do a small group focused around the science of reading and how you would use data to drive that instruction of the small group to best meet the students' needs.
Yeah.
And if you're a leader today, like I would just say my experience in leadership especially at the building level, because that's where I had like the most continuous and constant access to teachers. One of their greatest frustrations, anytime you're talking about consulting or professional development or workshops, is, man, Susan, like the content was great, but we're in a, like a, an airtight box, right? Yeah. Like, first of all, the kids are on a video and they're all perfect. Right. They don't look like my students.
Right.
They don't have so-and-so sitting in the front row. So how is this really applicable and how do I really do it?
Yeah.
Because I'm also doing this. And I think Katie brings such a fresh look and a hands-on, approach to like, I'm living what I'm telling you. And I've just left this role. And with districts and budgets and everything is always going to be tight. I mean, we're public education or any type of education. Mm-hmm. The money is always going to be scarce in my opinion.
Right.
And so the idea that whether you're in a private school or parochial school, public schools, that you're going to just be able to have a litany of instructional coaches that are highly trained. Right. Like,
Maybe not realistic.
Right. It's probably not super realistic. Yeah. And so I think to bring Katie in from that, because teachers, they need that. I mean, again, young principals listening, you want to move the needle in student achievement. Hear me say today, it begins and ends in the classroom. Mm-hmm. If you don't have great teachers doing great instruction and provided with great data and knowing then what to do with that data, you're going to be climbing an uphill battle, in my opinion. So right. I mean, just see that role that you're doing as just an essential part of our passion.
Yeah. Right. And there's so many assessments right now. And I know I felt that as a teacher, that it just felt like one thing after another to kind of check a box. And so having somebody come in and say, here's how you can actionize this. Here's how you make it purposeful. Here's how you do it using all of this assessment data that you have.
Right.
Well, and how many times have we heard, and maybe Katie, not so much in your role, but I could tell you from my role, prior roles that I've played, you know, I would have teachers that were resistant to data team meetings or data say, well, this isn't really about kids.
Right.
That just blows my mind. Yeah. Like this is absolutely 100% about kids.
Yeah.
But being able to bridge that gap when maybe administrators might not be able to do that just from the difference in the perspective. Mm-hmm. I think just having your wisdom and your background there is really critical.
Yeah, for sure. And so quickly along with the consulting, we also offer workshops on site. So we know that, you know, it's not always possible to bring people in. But we know you're always looking for really great workshops to send people to, whether you're trying to start something new in your building or whether you're trying to perfect it. You sometimes just need people to go and work together for the day and think about the topic at hand. So we offer lots of workshops from the science of reading that we're talking about to data analysis to great math workshops. And then we also bring in a lot of specialists to do various things that we know schools might need. And that ranges from help with federal programs and monies around budgets, all the way to communication, how to tell your story, and to safety. We even have a specialist that's coming in and really helping schools be smart about their safety measures. So we're always looking for what do people need, and we really want to help you fill that box. So if there is a need you're having, you know, let us know and we will look for the best to offer that workshop and get you great information.
And I think too, Jill and Katie, when we've talked about our workshops, they're never a one and done.
For sure. Yeah,
like we've always talked about how to go deeper and make them a little bit more robust in that. Yes, you come get information, but the action plan is developed as well.
Right.
The time to really make like seed and allow something to grow within your building or your district. That opportunity will be there with whether within that one session or multiple session workshops. That's just something that's super important to us.
Yeah. And we're always there as a resource, you know, as you start to implement those practices. So consulting workshops, that's one big piece of what we do. The next, Katie's going to talk to you about tutoring is another big rock for us that we do through our company.
Yeah, that's really how I got started with Jill and Susan is I started tutoring last school year. And like I said, I was a first grade teacher for 10 years. And there was always that group of kids that I felt like I couldn't figure them out. There was always the group that you tried so hard. I did everything I knew how to do with them. I gave them as much small group instruction, as much one-on-one instruction as I could. And they would always go on to second grade. And I felt so bad that they didn't get it. And so the tutoring, now that the science of reading is really is a thing now. Yeah. And I mean, it has been for a long time, but it's circling back.
It's definitely taking front and center right now.
Right.
As it should be.
Yes. And it really is just saying that kids need systematic, explicit phonics instruction in order to learn how to read. And so that is truly what our tutoring is all about. Mm-hmm. It's bringing kids in for an initial assessment and seeing what skills they need to work on, and then putting them into a group of kids that also need to work on those same skills, and then teaching those exact things that they need to learn. And then we monitor their progress, and we just kind of move at the pace that they need us to move. So we have group tutoring of kids no more than, or well, groups of six kids, no more than six. And then we also offer one-on-one tutoring too. But it's been really great to see their progress. Some of them, I can't even explain how excited I am with some of them, with how much progress they've made. And,
yeah, it's really great. It's great to partner, I think, with families, because by the time they've come to us, the families are frustrated, the kids are frustrated, and they just want help, right? And to be able to offer that support and give those kids what they need, and to watch the confidence of the kids grow, that's pretty incredible too. So we love to partner with people that need that. So we offer it after school. We work with some homeschool families as well. And so we kind of bridge that gap for those families that may decide homeschooling is best for them, but they need a little extra help from a specialist in some academic areas. And so we're there to fill that gap. And that has been a huge piece for us as we've built this in the last 2 years. We're glad to have Katie taking charge with making sure that we're doing all we need to do in that area. Great. And the last one, which comes back full circle, Susie, all the way back to the school, because Susan and I, when we got started, one of the things that we really wanted to make sure we did was practice what we preach. And we love going out and helping people. We love bringing them in, but we also stay on top of our craft because we do the work. and that, I think, sets us apart from other people who are helping with consulting and workshops, because we're on the ground in the trenches every day. And we know that makes a difference for educators. And I hope that that makes a difference for our parents, too, because we are always perfecting our craft with students. And if we find something that works better, then we do better. And in our setting, I think we're able to do that quickly, which is very refreshing for somebody who's been in the field for a long time. In fact, the three of us just had a meeting Friday night. We moved groups all around and we're starting it next week. Right. So it's like we don't have to wait to help kids. We just make the changes and we help them. And that's been really great.
Well, so, feels good. Yeah. I mean, right. It's, it's the reminder of why
we're doing what we're doing.
We got into this profession to begin with. And I know, Jill, when you and I started talking about this a couple years ago, I was so like at a place personally and professionally, really, where I was just like floundering.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. I was then in a central office position.
Right. Because her good friend Jill drug her on up to central office and goes, "Come on, Susie, it'll be fun."
I used to talk to my students about good friendship choices.
It was fun. It connected us. And I can't even believe what we're doing now. But so Yeah, I think you and I both were wanting to feel more connected again to kids, again to real student achievement, and just kind of focusing back to why we got into education in the first place, mm-hmm. Which was to ensure that kids have what they need. And you have an environment in which teachers can thrive, and the practices are, we can implement them without all of the barriers that can sometimes get in the way.
And I really feel like, Jill, the emphasis for Kale, Ed, and Co. grew so naturally from that.
Because, it did, yeah.
I mean, when you take two people that where we were in our careers, when we right. decided, you know what, we're just going to push stop on right. everything and do a complete
that wasn't scary at all. Shift. That was
no,
not scary
that
at all.
Wasn't scary at all. I mean, because you know we're such young things.
Well, yeah, I know
that. You know, retirement, things like that, did not yeah, even seep into our.
That's a different episode.
Yeah. That's a, yeah. Mm-hmm. So when we decided to really shift, like yeah. you know, a right degree, 90-degree yeah. turn, and say, okay, we're going to do something. We're pivoting.
Yeah.
I think that the impetus for KLN & Co. was really born out of that, because we felt so strongly and the rewards were so pure and the right. passion was just back.
Right.
And why wouldn't we as educators truly embrace this idea of collaboration? And right. when you know better, do better, and collaborate with others to make sure as many students
right.
as possible can experience this type of instruction and this type of foundational skill yeah. work and the passion for teaching and learning mm-hmm. that our kiddos get to experience every day. We want that for all people
right.
and for all students. And it's just been super rewarding. So the school, I mean, like you said, this is our second year. We've tripled in size in a year. And we're already well above for next year's enrollment mm-hmm. where we were a year ago at this time. So, yeah. so next year looks strong again. And I would say the difference is just, number one, I do think parents appreciate our background and our experience.
Yes.
I don't think they take that for granted. I think they know that we know what best practices look like. Mm-hmm. We are truly a standards-based school. Mm-hmm. Like everything we talk about is standards. We reference standards.
And like what does that mean? Just in case there's a parent listening and they go, I don't even know what that means. And sometimes the explanations aren't always great about it. So
that's
you know,
true.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So what does that mean? If a student comes to Kale School, what does that mean for them?
I think that every student is able to access the standards or their next best step in learning, mm-hmm. right? So it doesn't matter if you're a gifted student, a student on an IEP. That doesn't matter to us
right.
because every kiddo has something where he or she is successful in or feels mm-hmm. success in, mm-hmm. and every kiddo has the next best step in learning.
Right.
Our job as educators at the Kale School is to give the assessments necessary to pinpoint what those successes mm-hmm. are and where their next steps for learning are. And the state has laid out very clear standards mm-hmm. in terms of what checkpoints, if you mm-hmm. will, checklists about where kids need to be and in what grade level. Mm-hmm. And so our job is just to really make sure that we're setting them up for success, whether in middle school or for high school, so that when they leave us, they are absolutely where they need to be on all the standards at that level.
Right.
So if that looks like I have a third grader in math that is doing maybe still some remediation or intervention in a first grade or second grade standard, that's okay, because the following unit could be a standard that child is very successful with. Mm-hmm. And then they're back on or above grade level. To your point a minute ago about, you know, we had just met about grouping. Mm-hmm. Like we'll change groups for three times and it's just now Thanksgiving break. So right. please don't misunderstand tracking. We're not bluebirds, yeah, redbirds, and parakeets, right? Like back in the day. Katie, you don't remember that. Jill knows what I'm talking about, though. It's not that. It's truly flexible grouping at its finest and making yeah. sure kiddos are getting every single day their next best step in learning.
Right.
So your really high flyers are feeling pushed and that connects them to their learning. I feel like it connects them way more than just sitting through standards that they can already do. And we have yeah. had parents that have come to us that have enrolled their students because their gifted learner mm-hmm. is sitting in a classroom with 20 some students getting right. the same content, the same standards at the same level as the kid that's 2 years below. Mm-hmm. That's not a student issue.
Right.
Right. For either the yeah. gifted child or
yeah.
the child that perhaps is on an IEP.
Right.
That's a how can we do things differently?
Right.
And it is hard when you are in a classroom with 22
kids. Oh, 100%.
It is just hard.
It's a system. It's a system problem. And we're able to break the system and do it differently.
Absolutely.
And so kids don't walk in and sit in a first grade classroom all day. They are mixed and they are working with people that need the same things and they move around all day long. So it's a really awesome structure that we've been able
to
set up.
They still get their science, their social studies.
Absolutely,
they still get Latin, Spanish.
Yeah, I mean,
we have preschoolers that are taking Spanish and they love it, and art and PE. So they get that kind of opportunity as well. That has service learning. That has been one thing this year that I am just so stinking proud of, because every Friday our kiddos are involved in some kind of service learning activity. Yeah. And it's not about collecting money or mittens or hats. It's about building and the blankets, the toys. It's the development of, creating of, and then handing over. And that's, to me, is a lifelong skill.
For sure. So to wrap up, the listeners today kind of got an overview of the things that we do. So consulting and workshops, we're here to support educators at whatever level they're at. And we'll come to you. You can come to us. Just let us partner with you. That's one piece of it. Tutoring. So we support the families and the parents that are out there that are really looking for just some additional help in the academic areas. We're here for that. And for someone looking for just a different school setting. If you want to have the full-time option where you get all of these things and more during a full school day, we have that as well. So those are the areas that we're focusing on. That's the ways we're trying to help all educators, families, kids in our community and beyond. Thanks, Katie. You made it through the first one.
Katie, go.
She made it.
I think she made it. Broke out in a little some hives, but it's okay.
The rash is slowly going away.
She looks fantastic. She looks fantastic, and we can't wait to bring you more episodes. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.